today on Real Radio.
God will not accept you into heaven based upon your goodness. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you don't understand that, that terrifies you. But if you do understand it, it's great news. Amen. Thank God he doesn't accept us into heaven based on our goodness, because then our goodness would have to be relegated or measured on a standard or a scale. You never know when you've met the criteria. You never know when you're good enough.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Arriving is the theme as we close out the book of Isaiah, and by arriving we mean a succession of events and fulfillments of Bible prophecy, including the physical return of Jesus Christ to the earth. As we end Isaiah chapter 63, we learn that we're living in the age of God's grace on the earth, but God's only going to hold back his anger for so long before Christ followers will meet the Lord in the air in the end times event called the rapture. Now, this in turn will lead to a 7-year tribulation period of great destruction and violence. Jesus will then return physically to the earth to bring an end to the reign of the Antichrist and establish his own form of government. So today in Isaiah chapter 64, Pastor Jack reminds us about the second coming of Christ and what it means for the world. For one thing, judgment has come, and all the governments of the world will bow down before Jesus. It also means that both the Jew and non-Jew who come to Christ in the tribulation period will be delivered. And now in his lesson called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
As we get into this, remember the theme of these last few chapters of Isaiah we have called Arriving. And it deals with the second coming of Jesus Christ and the events leading up to the second coming of Christ. I'm not talking about the rapture. I'm talking about the second coming of Christ when he comes to establish his throne, as the Bible says, in Jerusalem. But as we look at this, I want you to have a few things in mind. That when we talk about this closing portions of this great book, we're looking at a message that is focused on the fact that the Messiah is returning, and for good reason. There are key doctrines, major doctrines of the Bible. By the way, church, take notice of this. Those major doctrines of the Bible are found not in the New Testament only, but in the Old and the New. They are replicated. Listen, this is important to you. There's the continuity of Scripture, that what is spoken of in the Old Testament is clarified and delivered to us in the New Testament. And those major biblical doctrines are replicated. They are introduced in one testament and made available in the other. What is promised in the old is provided in the new. And so this whole thing about, and I'm going to give you a few of those, foundational major doctrines of the Bible, so many of them native to the book of Isaiah, some of them being this, for example. The doctrine of the incarnation. That's an Old Testament doctrine, but you know it's realized in the New Testament, don't you? The Bible talks about in the Old Testament, the incarnation, that Messiah would become flesh. You know that to be true in the New. The doctrine of salvation, promised in the Old, provided in the New. The doctrine of justification, that God would justify you and I, humans, sinners, apart from works of righteousness. Outside of our earthly efforts, God has promised to justify all those who believe and trust in him outside of works. In fact, you know that the doctrine of justification excludes human deeds. And this might be a shock to someone who's here right now or watching tonight, that God will not accept you into heaven based upon your goodness. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you don't understand that, that terrifies you. But if you do understand it, it's great news. Amen. Thank God he doesn't accept us into heaven based on our goodness, because then our goodness would have to be relegated or measured on a standard or a scale. Listen, that's why legalism terrorizes people. You never know when you've met the criteria. You never know when you're good enough. You want to know why? You'll never be good enough. So you'll always feel bankrupt or somewhat deficient until Christ and his righteousness grabs hold of your heart and the revelation that God will only accept perfection. And that's where his justification comes in. His salvation comes in for us. It's absolutely awesome, which leads to the doctrine of redemption announced in the book of Isaiah, realized in the New Testament. What about the doctrinal teachings of judgment? It's the God of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation that teaches us that because God is holy and righteous, he must judge. Book of Isaiah talks about that, of course, realized in the book of Revelation. And what about the doctrine of the coming glory of both God and man united in what is called eschatology, the study or the doctrine of future events? The ultimate future prophetic doctrine is you and I will be with God forever, never to be separated from him. And this is the best part, never able to sin in eternity. You and I will have no sin nature once you and I are resurrected from the dead or the rapture happens. Think of that. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. Arriving, yes, Lord, please come and get us now. That would be absolutely wonderful. So as we look at this, as we consider this, you guys do know by now, as we close out this book shortly, that this prophecy of this prophet, Isaiah, is the most revered Hebrew prophet of your scriptures. And so as we look to this, I'm going to ask you to put this down. It matters to where we're going tonight. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Isaiah chapter 64 in your note-taking. Prepare for this. Psalm chapter 2. Psalm 2, I'm going to read it, and then we're going to get into Isaiah. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against, watch, the Lord and his anointed or anointed one. We use the word Messiah. Okay, you with me? Follow along. If you're Jewish tonight, if you're Hebrew, in fact, if you have a Hebrew Bible, read it in Hebrew. Psalm 2. Psalm 2, 1,000 years before Jesus was born. It's a 3,000-year-old prophecy. Let's keep reading. Saying, let us break their bonds. This is what the nations are saying. Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. Let's get God out of our lives. Both the anointed one and the Lord. Verse 4, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Speaking about the earth dwellers, the nations. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Watch. Verse 6, yet I have set my king on my holy hill of what? Say it again. Zion. So says the Bible, 3,000-year-old prophecy. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. The word begotten is glorified you or revealed you. Listen to the dialogue of this. God is speaking regarding the nations who don't want God in their life. And God is saying that I will set my son, the anointed one, in his place in Zion. He says, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel or a pot. Verse 10, now therefore be wise, O kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Look at verse 12. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. God the Father, God the Son, revealed in the Psalms, Psalm 2, the Old Testament. Shouldn't surprise anybody. The manifestation of God's salvation, almost done before we get into the study. You know this verse. It's one of my favorites. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Proverbs 30, verse 4. I'm amped on this because every time I go to Israel, this verse comes up. And we just got back from Israel. And this is a showstopper, friends. This verse just arrests the moment. You know any Jewish friends? You want them to come to Messiah? To know that their Messiah is the Lord? Here you go. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? By the way, listen, there's only one known to have done this. And every Jew and every Gentile ought to know this. Who has gathered the wind in his fist? There's only one who can boast this. Who has bound the waters in his garment? Only one. Who has established all the ends of the earth? In other words, who's the creator? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? Next time you see your sweet Jewish friend, give them that verse. I mean it. Give it to them in love, because they need to know. In fact, thank God that the Messiah has first come to the people of Israel and was promised in the Old Testament. That's how us Gentiles get grafted in. You know that? Amen. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 9, 10 and 11. And we're grateful for that. So regarding this arriving, and we're looking at the second coming, keep in mind that the Son of God is coming back. And the prophets said he would. The New Testament says he is. And that he's coming back in the second coming. And watch, he is going to judge the world for their unbelief. You read about that a moment ago in Psalm 2. But he's the Messiah, which means he is going to deliver the remnant of the house of Israel that is believing, that is the born-again Jew during the tribulation period. And he is going to rescue all of those of the Gentile world who came to faith at the ministry witness of the Jewish people during the seven-year tribulation period. It's altogether different than the church age that you and I are experiencing right now. By the way, it's remarkable. Church, listen, it is awesome. Don't be discouraged when you look around the world or look around America and you see churches drying up and closing their doors and less people attending church in America, Europe, and the world. Cheer up, get excited. I'll tell you the reason why. Apathy is marking the last day's church. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be fewer and fewer people believing. That's what the Bible says. There's going to be more and more people giving up and going back into the world. That's what the Bible says. You should be encouraged by that sad, sad departure of those who do not or have ceased believing. Why? Because when that happens, as it is happening, you'll also know from Scripture that God will be leaning toward the Jewish nation again. And he is. Ladies and gentlemen, church family, there is an amazing, never before seen record number of born again believers who are Jews coming to faith in Jesus as Messiah, now, more now than ever before in Jewish history. Tonight, on this Wednesday night, there are more born again Jews in Israel and in the world than any other time in human history. And that number is increasing dramatically. There are more Jews who are coming to faith in Christ. What does that mean? Less Gentiles coming to the church in the world and more Jews coming to become believers and followers. What does that mean? That means God is just about done with the church age. Amen. And he's refocusing on that epic time that the Bible talks about, the seven-year tribulation period that is so documented in Scripture. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens, that you would come down. This is the cry of a future fulfillment of the Jewish people. That the mountains might shake at your presence. So there's a day coming when Israel will turn toward God again and cry out to him. And in this prophecy, they're prophesying, or they're praying, I should say, shake the mountains again. Do that. Shake that. Verse 2, as fire burns brushwood, as fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries. You ought to circle that because we don't often think about it, but God's adversaries are the nations. You ever think about that when you read the Old Testament? That when you read the Old Testament, notice it's the godless nations that are God's adversaries. That the nations may tremble at your presence. He's coming back in the second coming, and it is going to be awesome. And the nations will tremble according to the Bible. What I think it's interesting to me is to realize is that God, who is incredibly loving and forgiving and tender and merciful and wants you to know him personally, is the same one without any character change, without any personality change. He's the one that, in the other view, on the other side from his presence, is the fiery wrath of Almighty God. And yet God is perfectly loving. We cannot reconcile that as humans. It's beyond us. It's remarkable. But the second coming is all about that. Not the rapture. The rapture is the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Only the believers will see the Lord in the rapture, not the world. Amen. The second coming, everybody sees him. The Bible says the second coming is the great and terrible day of our God. The rapture is the blessed hope. One is epic in full scope and enveloping the world. And the other one is to those who are watching and waiting. Remarkable. One is an actual physical return. The other one is an atmospheric appearance where he receives his people back up into his throne, up into his place. John chapter 14. But look at verse 3, Isaiah 64. He says, when you did awesome things, they say, the prophet is saying, and he's speaking on behalf of the nation. So they're saying, "Look, you know, do this again, God, please. When you did awesome things for which we did not look, you did things that blew our minds." Now, what's amazing about this verse, Isaiah 64:3, as I told you before, many of the Jewish people today that have not had the veil lifted yet, they're Jews, but they don't believe in God. Strangest thing. I've told you this before. So how can this be? They celebrate Shabbat, but then they argue against the existence of God. It's unbelievable. It's so weird. And yet even that's prophetic. But when that veil is lifted, and during this period of time in Isaiah 64, when God is waking them up again, and he's going to use that tribulation period, they're announcing what they remembered. Oh, yeah. We grew up. I could have sworn we heard something about you parting the Red Sea. Yeah, that was me. Do that again. Oh, yeah, we grew up in school, in Jewish classes, being taught that you came down and you shook the earth and you rescued your people and you defended Moses and you led Joshua. Yeah, we remember that. Yeah, we turn our eyes back to you, God. Watch this. They say that he did awesome things. And he's going to do awesome things. He's going to shake. Yeah, it's true. He's going to shake things again. When God sets his eyes on the nation of Israel, right now, look, let's be honest. Yes, God's moving. Yes, God is assembling that nation. There's no doubt about it. But he's putting it together before he goes to work on it. He's putting it together, okay, before he goes to work on it. He's assembling it. According to Isaiah, he's saying, as it were, to a desert of dry bones, come together. Can you imagine? In God's mind, he sees this nation that you and I are watching, known around the world now, Israel, as the startup nation. And their radical economy, their radical technology, their radical defense, their radical ingenuity, the superpower of the region, Israel. And God is watching all this and he's in it all, but they're not alive to him yet. They're just like Ezekiel talks about. Read it later. It'll blow your mind. Start reading Ezekiel chapter 36 and 37, that the bones come together that have been dried and dusty. And he says, that's the whole house of Israel. Speak to the bones, Ezekiel. Shout to them. And Ezekiel shouts the word of the Lord to the bones. And Ezekiel in the prophecy saw the bones coming together. Can you imagine the feet bones coming together and the ankle bones and the femur and the pelvis, the hips, the ribs, the spine, and then the skull. Can you imagine the skull bones just rolling up the body and coming onto the head? And it's standing there. And Ezekiel said, then the next thing I saw is that tendons and ligaments began to form the bones together, and then I saw muscle, and then I saw skin, and then it was there, but it was still dead, and then God breathed into it, and Israel, it says right there, became alive again, and he brought them into their own land. You're living history right now. You're living prophecy as Israel is on the map again. God is going to do something. In fact, let's dive into this a little. Can I be a little sarcastic with you to get you to think tonight? Check this out. Listen to what Jesus said, and then you ask yourself, if not, listen. With what Jesus said, if this doesn't happen, then what do we do with our New Testament Bible? Are you ready? That's going to challenge you. I'm going to read something to you. You're going to see it on the screens. If tonight the existence of Israel bothers you, then pay attention, because listen to what Jesus says, Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. By the way, this portion, he says it during his first coming. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Behold, or see, your house. Everybody know what your house means? Jesus is riding down the Palm Sunday trail on the Mount of Olives. He looks left, and there's the Temple Mount, and there's the temple. They're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, but they don't believe in him. They want a political Messiah. Isn't that the way that we are? We want a political Messiah. No, we don't. We already have our Messiah.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4. We're so glad you joined us today. And you know, the last days, they are upon us. And our prayer is that you've come to faith in Jesus before it's too late. Won't you come to Jesus today? Arriving, the Second Coming of the Son of God, Part 4, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, keeping our eyes off of ourselves and on what would please the Lord and bring Him glory takes a special kind of determination and focus. That's why starting the day with devotions is a great way towards a meaningful and lasting relationship with Christ. But with tight schedules and hectic lifestyles, we don't always want to waste precious time searching for inspiring devotional material. So Pastor Jack has written and provided them for us. Simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and click on the tab labeled Devotions. There's a new one every week, along with quick and easy access to previous devotions, with titles such as The Eternal Love of the Lord, Our Awesome God, and Blessings in Abundance. You can even subscribe to Pastor Jack's devotional newsletter when you type in your email address. Again, it's available on our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You can also have access to Pastor Jack's devotions when you download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.